Good morning. Today is Tuesday, September the 8th, 246th day of the new year. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Convention and Visitors Bureau Executive Director, Tony Stutters.
Good morning, Brian.
Kind of put you on your heels on that one, didn't I? A little comment before the show. Our quote this morning comes from, let's see. This is a good one. General Maxwell Taylor, U.S. military leader and diplomat. Quote, a reflective reading of history will show that no man ever rose to military greatness who could not convince his troops that he put them first above all else.
Or politician and voters. Just read that in.
I don't know. I think there's enough truth twisting through the PR machine in certain political machines.
Oh, military doesn't have that? Oh.
Oh, but not in sight as much, I wouldn't think. You know, if you say charge and you're the one who's there and no one else is, pretty evident. You can't buy people that way. But, hey, I guess it is the political season. They say Labor Day the year before is when it starts.
Exactly.
So we are now formally into it. So all that other stuff's just been preseason. So what's going on out there? The fires, have you got any indication yet? The impact of the fires to the region? I know that anecdotally I'm hearing a lot, but are you seeing anything? Are guys talking to you?
Well, it's very interesting because it's almost like there's two Humboldts. There's Eastern Humboldt and Coastal Humboldt. Coastal Humboldt, our visitors are not even aware of the fires. They're just driving up the coast and filling the rooms.
The 101.
The 101. Corridor. Yes, exactly. Of course, in the east, that, you know, when there's haze in the air, it's hard to ignore. However, in terms of the industry, well, hotels and lodges and what have you are busy hosting firefighters. So it hasn't really hurt our tourism industry that we can tell.
When you talk to the retailers and the restaurateurs who are also influenced by a tourist activity,
mm-hmm.
are they same parallel arguments or just points?
I believe you'd find that same division, you know, inland and coastal. Coastal-wise, we're having probably a record year, and we're just finishing. Of course, Labor Day would be the end of the season, but we'll hope to get some legs on it.
So it's the end of one season, the starting of another.
Yes.
How do you know? I know shoulder season is something that's discussed, talked about, belabored, probably beaten into the ground. Is there a concerted effort to do shoulder season, either promotion or activity-based promotions, to draw people into this region during the times when they're not naturally here in the numbers that everybody would like?
Yes. to make the answer as quick, absolutely. That has been, in fact, you know, at the Convention and Visitors Bureau, it's in our bylaws that we focus on the shoulder season and the off season, and in all of our marketing plans. Yes, there is year-round activity. Yes. But you won't find a lot of advertising going on in the summer. It's all focused at those shoulders and an off season.
It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Tony Smithers. Tony, so the local tourist on the coast is here, inland, not so much so. Okay, that would kind of make sense because you know, all you hear on the national stuff is fire, 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 fire.
Right, and there is some smoke.
Yeah, until the last couple of days, isn't it nice to get back to normal? I guess air quality now has pulled it off, and we don't have nearly the concerns and the issues that were there before. So maybe they can save the tail.
Just in time for Bigfoot days.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Are the tourists different tourists this time of the year?
I think so. Obviously, you know, traveling families are back in school, so we don't see quite so much of them, though more so than in the past, because there's a lot of flexible schedules, homeschooling, charter schools, all this kind of thing. But what we usually see at this time of the year is the shift from mostly, you know, a solidly domestic market to a lot more international visitors, Europeans, whatever.
Is that quantified, or is that just kind of feedback in your gut?
Well, we are getting a lot of feedback now, and we will be able to quantify it, you know, later when the numbers start rolling in.
So, are the local businesses sophisticated enough to be able to handle international, you know, unless they're Australian or New Zealand or English?
Two countries divided by a common language, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Are they able to handle the Japanese or the Chinese or German that are German?
Sure.
And I know a lot of the tourists speak broken English, and you can kind of figure it out, but I would imagine it's a relief if they find somebody who can actually speak the Sprechen Sie Deutsch.
Yeah.
One of the few phrases I remember from Dad and Opa.
Ich spreche keine Deutsch. Yeah. The answer is yes and no. You're right. Fortunately, the level of education in English from a lot of international, you know, destinations or, you know, source markets is very high. So, and I would think also that people who are intending to visit the United States brush up on their English, you know, as hopefully we would when we visit someone else's country. Having said that,
you say the Americans prepare for something?
Well, there's the, you know, Berlitz and all that.
Yeah,
but,
okay.
But having said that, the more that we can prepare to welcome international visitors, the better we're going to do. And the numbers that we're getting, that, you know, the industry is coming up, say that the international tourism is going to be growing by leaps and bounds. It has been growing. Is going to continue to grow. And being a world-renowned site, you know, the Redwoods, we're a World Heritage Site, we're on the international map. We're gonna get a good share of that growth.
So they're looking for more of the basic trees.
Well,
maybe the ocean.
That's why they come here. But the question you asked is about service, and to the extent that we can provide them with the information that they want in their language. And then that's one level. Another level is that culturally sensitive service, which would be, you know, the height of hospitality. For instance, we have learned painfully that our Chinese visitors have a certain expectations from how they travel in their own region. So, for instance, they like a certain kind of rice porridge for breakfast. I forget what it's called. Congee, I think. They also expect to have slippers in their hotel room. These are things which are basics to them. The lack thereof makes them think that we have poor hospitality.
In a one-star facility.
Yeah.
So to speak, yeah.
Yes, and there's something like that probably for every source market.
So is that something that you, Visitors Bureau, will do research on and then push out to the individual members of the group, or is that something you expect them to do one-on-one? Is that, I mean, you mentioned China. Now, I know we have some Chinese exchange students here. Do you get together with them and say, when your folks come, you know, when you travel, what do you expect? I mean, do one-on-one kind of interviews.
But that is a useful way to go. And luckily, also, we have great resources with Visit California, the state tourism office, who has, you know, trade missions in different, you know, major source countries. But to answer your question, I think that that is absolutely a suitable and important role for the Visitors Bureau to provide that kind of knowledge base to our hospitality industry. It'd be too much to expect every hotel, every restaurant to do it by themselves.
Do they get it? Do they want it?
Some do, and more will as they see who's sitting at their tables or lying in their beds.
The situation with the currency in the stock market with China, it's off 10-15%, something like that, in the last couple of weeks. Something like that obviously is going to impact the tourist season and tourist expectations and planning. With a shift like that, are most folks able to adjust here? So when they're not expecting to see somebody from somewhere, they can shift on a dime and be able to satisfy that?
Mm. International travel is rarely a spur of the moment purchase. It's done through intermediary tour operator, receptive operator companies. It's packaged, it's purchased well ahead, usually at least 6 months, often more. So it's not easy to be that nimble.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this Tony Smithers morning. I guess it kind of is, isn't it?
Make it a Tony morning.
Yeah. Oh, that's just kind of a frightening concept all the way around, huh? Yeah. Oh, we talked a little bit about the international tourist. Are there changes? Are there new things that are happening? Because I would imagine that there are trends there, just as there are trends in America, as there are trends in California, as there are trends in Humboldt County.
Sure. Well, yeah, you see a lot of things reflected that, internationally that we're talking about locally. And, the fun part is that, as it is in many other areas of life and culture, California is kind of a leader, a style maker in some respects. So, like, for instance, the whole farm-to-table movement is starting to see being played out in other countries as well. I read about a farm-to-table thing in Finland, of all places.
So is that like farmer's market?
No. It's a dining experience where the actual all the ingredients are locally sourced and established, organic, high quality. It's almost knowing the pedigree of your food.
See, I hear that, and I think I'm going to get dirt in my celery. And yeah,
farm to fork, it's also called.
Okay,
that's just one thing. But then we talked about what is happening. Well, of course, the main obvious huge thing that we're seeing out there is growth. I mean, the world has woken up to international travel, and in the last 20 years, it has doubled the amount of arrivals is people who show up in your country.
That's interesting. In Europe you can drive,
right?
I'm thinking for here, with the demise of so many airline industries and the consolidation and the jack 'em up rates of so many international flights, you still have your specials and things like that periodically. I would have thought that would have been stable rather than something that was growing by leaps and bounds, just because the price was there. And the dollar isn't that much weaker now than what it was 20 years ago.
Right. nonetheless, in, say in the last 20 years, the arrivals in North America have gone from 71 million to 100 million. So that's 50% growth pretty much.
And it's not all business travel.
No, it's not all business travel, right.
Now, are those concentrated in certain areas?
Well, certainly, you know, our...
L.A., yeah, okay. Yeah.
We have gateway cities, what they call them.
Right.
You know, so, and obviously, there's some iconic American attraction. You'd be surprised how many international travelers go to Florida. You know, it's, all the Disney products there really are popular.
Well, and it's an easy jumping off spot also to get to Europe.
Yeah.
And Middle East.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I would think that, it would be weird if that and New York weren't.
So
on that
right.
coast. Yeah.
So the strategy, you know, behind our destination and a lot of other, you know, second tier or rural destinations is how do we tap into that gateway traffic and funnel them out to our little corner of paradise?
Who's achievable and who isn't?
Right. So we've heard really interesting stories. You know, there are busloads of tourists in Yellowstone. Certainly Yosemite, I know, we know, gets, you know, they're a good share of traffic too.
Seattle would make sense.
Yeah, okay.
Seattle, Minnesota, Minneapolis, Seattle and Minneapolis, I would think would make sense just because we're kind of in that region. I know Minneapolis is a little bit of a push, but if somebody's spending a week.
Possibly, yeah. And then, you know, for other kinds of sort of what they call fly drive itinerary, you know, we're very popular with Germans. Something about our forests really have that, you know, racial memory or something, I don't know.
Geez, if we could only make cuckoo clocks.
Yeah, I know. Instead of just cuckoos. But, you know, Lufthansa has a direct flight into Portland. And so we're seeing people picking up their car there, driving down, heading up in San Francisco and doing that loop.
Now, that would make a ton of sense.
Yeah.
Does Humboldt County have connections, formal connections with Portland to help facilitate or to encourage that?
Besides, no, not formal, you know, advertising into that market, but no, it's because really that kind of planning and trip, you know, itinerary building happens at the international level with the tour operators.
So it's back to that group stuff that you were talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, it's the intermediaries in the supply chain who are providing, you know, itineraries and plans to their customers.
So Americans are more apt to be spontaneous in their travel? And the international community tends to be more planned? Or is it just these larger trips that are planned and they still are spontaneous in their region?
There are a variety of products that are on the market. Some of them do allow some flexibility. There are some ones where rather than having a particular reservation for a hotel on any given night, like tonight we're Portland, tomorrow we're Bandon, and the next day we're Eureka. Sometimes they have a couponing. You know, they'll work, say, with the Best Western chain and just have a bunch of coupons that they can then use at their own discretion when and where as they go through their trip, provided there's room available, of course.
Lufthansa is one that advertises pretty heavily in the Bay Area. Direct, mm-hmm. nonstop, from SFO to... They don't do that out of Germany and say direct, nonstop to... Portland to San Francisco?
Oh, they do. Certainly they do.
So there is a segment that is...
Right.
Planning out a trip that far in advance, to me, is an interesting concept, particularly if the majority do that.
Yeah. Interesting issues, especially in Germany, but also in some of the other countries. You know, their domestic laws are very relevant to the travel industry. The middleman, tour operators and what have you, are... on the line financially for delivering everything that they promise and sell in the package. So that's, you know, one of the roles of the Bureau is sort of hand-holding and contract encouragement between our suppliers, our hotels and experiences and what have you, and those tour companies.
You're the insurance company's insurance company.
Yeah.
So to speak. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42. We'll be back with more from Tony Smithers.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
About that.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:47. Just a couple minutes left with Tony Smithers. Tony, what are some of the surprises that you've run into about the international traveler and how it either pertains to California or are part of California?
Well, where are they coming from is a very interesting point. For instance, you know, this is information from the United Nations World Tourism Organization, their 2015 report for data in 2014, obviously. It's not surprising that the world's top tourism source market is, I'll let you guess.
Okay. Number one in the world?
Yes.
Well, I would think China just from sheer volume.
Well, you're absolutely right. It is China. Mm-hmm. However, guess by arrivals, what is the most visited country in the world?
My arrivals. And this is all forms. Well, I got to think it would be America or... Yeah, America.
Nope. France.
They got enough space?
They get more visitors than any other country. However, who do you think gets the most visitor spending of any country in the world from international travel?
Okay, I'll say America again.
Yeah, by a long shot.
Okay.
So we have fewer arrivals, but far more spending, which makes sense because we're more of a long-term, you know, a long visit. I think in Europe, you know, in France, you might get people weekending into France. And
yeah, just driving across the border.
Exactly.
Kind
of thing. Yeah. So, you know, it's a little more difficult to get here. China is, of course, the largest source market and is still on a high growth curve. So, I think look for a lot more Chinese visitors and figure out how we can best serve them.
Where's Japan?
It's that little country on the east side of No.
In the stack, is their population large enough to count? Because I know that there's a lot of back and forth between the West Coast and Japan.
Right.
But when you look at the entire country, maybe it's diluted a little bit.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right. We have a little niche market and we actually, you know, do some stuff in Japan, but it's not a big market for the U.S. or even for California. There just aren't enough travelers, and you know I think they used to be more, but they had a bit of a economic setback, and it hasn't really recovered yet.
Yeah, it's rippling eastward. Thanks for coming by.
My pleasure.
We've been talking shop this morning on Tony Day with Tony Smithers. Join us tomorrow morning for more talk shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you then.